Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi, and welcome to the podcast. I hope you're well. We had a great weekend last weekend. Some of you, it was lovely to meet some of you doing our Spring into Clarity Day, Vision Board Workshop Day. Really amazing, the stuff that comes out when we focus on what we want to create and manifest in our lives. And also Family Constellations, very small group, but so powerful. So we will put another Constellations in place soon. And you know, there'll be other opportunities to do workshop days as well. There really is such an amazing power in being connected. You can't deny it. And sort of just meeting people face to face, it just makes just a massive, massive difference. So today's podcast, I don't have a guest, so don't tune off straight away, because I've actually got a really interesting topic that I want to share with you. And it's just what tends to happen is I have things that rumble away in my own life and I start to recognize something. And then I kind of start to see a theme appearing, and I realize that it's not just me, that my clients and people in the sober club and you know, various people around me are going through something similar. So that thing for me is resistance, and how we feel resistance to stuff that we know we should be doing or that we know would benefit us, including things like stopping drinking or moving on to the next level in something we're doing or getting connected or whatever it might be. So I thought I'd dig in to that topic of resistance, because whatever stage you're at, there'll be something I know for sure that is getting in the way of whatever progress you know that you really want to make. So before we get into that though, I wanted to share some of the a few of the things from our Sober Club group this week. There's been some really wonderfully inspirational posts within our Sober Club community. As you know, we have a whole member portal full of stuff and inspiration and experts, but we also have a private Facebook group, and so much magic happens there. And, you know, in addition to the people who are struggling and they're on day one and we give them loads of completely non-judgmental support, you know, we have people that have been sober for years and years, and but they've also got something different that they want to focus on. So it kind of all comes out in the wash. What's so wonderful about it is that we can genuinely be cheerleaders for each other. So, you know, we've got people in the Sober Club who are day one, as I say, and people have been sober for 10, 15 years. And it all works because we're focusing on that holistic picture of what next. And of course, whatever it is we're doing, it's underpinned by sobriety. But I just wanted to read you just a couple of sections from a few posts that have been on the club in the last couple of weeks, because I just found them so inspirational. I kind of bookmarked it, and then I thought, you know what, I'm going to share that on the podcast. I won't mention names, so nobody needs to feel that you know, there's nothing, no confidentiality broken. It's just sharing some of the feelings. So anyways, without naming any names, as one woman wrote a lovely post saying that 6 months today, the post said, I made the choice to stop drinking, woke up after drinking far too much the night before, had the dread, the loathing, the disappointment, looking in the mirror, I saw someone I didn't recognize, cloudy eyes, dehydrated face, bloated and wrinkled. I knew the game was up. It was time for me to take responsibility for my future health. My body wouldn't stay healthy for much longer with the amount of poison it was having to process. I felt toxic. I always knew one day I'd have to stop. I'd worked out that moderation did not work. So here I am 6 months later, looking in the mirror. I see a younger looking woman looking back at me with sparkling eyes, beautiful shiny skin, defined cheekbones and a smile on her face. Thank you for all your support, compassion and kindness. It really does make a difference to share. Isn't that just lovely to read? I could have written every word of that myself, every word of it. It literally, quitting the booze is the best anti-aging hack ever. It gives you a chance to look better, feel better, just get back to who you really are. So I loved reading that, and it was just really inspirational to see. And then, of course, loads of posts from other people saying, "Oh my God, I know, it really is different. So many of my little ailments and things I had going on have cleared up." Or I used to think that my anxiety was, because of the menopause, and I now realize that so much of what I had going on was linked to drinking, or exacerbated by drinking, if not caused by it. And then at the other end of the spectrum, someone who is 6 years, so we've had 6 months, and then someone who is 6 months who wrote a very long post, totally inspirational. And again, I'll just share a couple of bits from it. She says, "I'm incredibly proud to be different. As opposed to feeling like I'm on the outside of a group that's having more fun than me, I'm still having light bulb moments 6 years down the line." I absolutely love that. That's exactly how it is. When clients say to me, "Oh, I'm coming up to a year and I wonder if it might all feel flat after that." No, it really doesn't. It gets better every year. And this member says, "I used to read the words, 'You're not your thoughts.' I'd struggle to relate to the concept. In the early days of sobriety, I'd hear the voice of the wine witch and allow it to shake my resolve and allow it to be some sort of reflection of my poor mindset and my hopeless attempts to go or stay alcohol free. But she piped down some time ago, and it's been virtually 6 years of zero needing to use willpower. But completely out of the blue, about 6 months ago, because there was a celebration going on, the wine witch flew in and suggested I raise a glass of champagne. Now, of course, I did not, nor did I feel remotely desiring of the drink. And yet I found myself smiling because the universe had finally succeeded in teaching me that I am not my thoughts." Yeah, I love that. What a fantastic way of putting it. Yes, the wine witch does still appear from time to time. Yes, the thoughts do come in. "Oh, wouldn't it be nice? Oh, look, those people are having fun in the sunshine, having a glass of wine." But you can literally laugh at that and recognize, but that's not who I am. That was something in my past. That was something historical that is no longer serving me, if it ever did. It doesn't mean that you're weak or that you need a drink. It doesn't mean that you have any kind of genes or pathways that mean you need to take action on that. It literally is. We can notice something and recognize that's not who I am anymore. And it really is just, oh, it's just so completely freeing. Anyway, that person goes on to say, "Something I appreciate deeply is the ability to be consistent through being alcohol free. Consistency is the magic sauce." It really is. She says, "When we show up and show up again, we build confidence and momentum and grow and keep our promises to ourselves. And we pour self-trust and self-respect back into ourselves, which is yet more magic sauce for a life well lived." Beautifully, beautifully written. Love it. And she says, "This is just my story. We're all different. However, I love to share where I'm at every year because it blows my mind that I can still be measuring progress and feeling glimmers and having light bulb moments and feeling more and more confident and happy in my own skin years and years down the line. I'm delighted to be alcohol free." And she puts lots of E's. Isn't that lovely? Just so inspirational. That is why I do the work I do. That is why I put an awful lot of hours into the Sober Club and an awful lot of hours into this podcast, as well as my coaching. That is the reason, because we get to just hear in so many different ways the freedom that this gives people. It's freedom. And every time I hear someone say, "Oh, I know it, I must stop. I've tried moderating, but I'm someone who I just can't have one. Other people can, but I'm someone who just can't." Well, good. I'm really glad you've noticed that, because why would you want to? Why would you want any toxic liquid when you can grasp sight of the fact that life is just so much better, so completely different? Anyways, within all of that absolute joyfulness, I just want to read you one other post, a little bit of another post that came up, because of course everything isn't necessarily always, bunnies and rainbows. So this person said, "I'm on day 50, and enjoying the positive benefits of my new life. I'm sleeping well, I'm eating really good food, although I do have rather more of a delight for sweet stuff. But I'm feeling lackluster and tired. I've always been very energetic, but I find myself wanting to be quiet and still, with a voracious appetite for learning and reading. And I'm hoping the feeling full of energy bit might kick in soon. I'd be grateful for other people's insight. My quiet inner voice is now looming and becoming louder and persistent and saying, "What's the point? Go on, you know that alcohol might pick you up. Have just the one." Excuse the swearing, but I wish the bastard voice would go away. So again, a really insightful post that was so useful, I think, to so many people, because the reality is we're all different and not all of the benefits kick in immediately. So I normally recommend to people that we need a minimum of 30 days. That's why when you do a short detox, you don't get to see all the benefits. We need a minimum of 30 days to even begin to start to feel stuff. But really, we need a good 6 months before everything starts to recalibrate, because the brain chemistry will have been so out of whack. So my reply to this person, a little section of my reply, was, "I'm guessing your brain chemistry could still be messed up and you could be lacking some vital nutrients. So you really could do with having a good look at the nutritional profile. Sometimes it can be a simple fix. You need to have a look at the magnesium that I recommend." And by the way, I'll put that in the show notes. It's fantastic for lifting the mood, a very specific blend. Things like vitamin D3, really essential again. That's just off the top of my head. When we quit the booze, it reveals what's going on, something that we may have been masking for years, but you certainly will not be fully full of energy, happy and full of life if you put the alcohol back. And then other people commented and said, "What you're feeling is part of the journey. Every little trip, every tricky feeling, everything that tries to deter you, it's all part of the journey. The obstacles are in the way." And she goes on to share a bit of her own journey. And then another member said, "Be patient, journal all of those feelings. Your body is processing life without the booze, but know that you're getting healthier every day." Absolutely true. And then somebody else said, "Yes, regarding what Janie said, magnesium really switched things up. I was feeling the same for a good long time, but it made a difference." So I'll put the information in the show notes for the specific magnesium blend that I recommend. It really is a game changer. Sometimes you can get to day 50 and you still don't feel full of energy, and it will be because of a whole bunch of things, but it won't be because you need alcohol. That's for certain. There will be all kinds of other things that you may need to look at, but it won't be down to alcohol. You absolutely need to look at the nutritional profile. Anyone that works with me, whether it's coming for coaching or as part of the Sober Club, will know that I'm really hot on ensuring that those early weeks of ditching the booze, it's all has to be about self-care. Yes, we need the mindset piece, we really do. Yes, we need connection, it's absolutely critical. But we also do need the physical, the actual physiological approach is very important. So what we are putting in your body is really important in order to help balance that brain chemistry. And there are a whole bunch of ways we can make it easier for ourselves, as well as the lifestyle stuff. Of course, we need to get out into nature. Of course, we need some fresh air. We need to move our body. Sometimes literally dropping into the body is the answer, actually, to shake everything out, to release everything. So there's a whole bunch of lifestyle stuff that's important. It comes back to really properly taking care of yourself. And the reality is, when you're drinking, it's highly unlikely that you're taking care of yourself. Of course, I used to think that I was. I used to think that my self-care, my treat was, popping out, the kids were being looked after, and downing a large Sauvignon. I saw that as my treat. How utterly ridiculous. It's so twisted, it's so messed up that the way our society and our culture has us think that pouring toxic liquid, into us is going to be the answer for our self-esteem and our authenticity and our well-being. Well, absolute tosh, it really is. I don't know whether this necessarily links to the messages that I've read, but I wanted to speak about resistance. It's something that's been going on in my life, in the last, month or so. I've had stuff that I've been thinking about, and I have been feeling resistance to it. Now, I don't think resistance is the same as procrastination. I have done stuff about procrastination on the podcast, and trust me, I can do that really well. I am a good procrastinator. but it's not quite the same. Resistance is something else, and it's entirely possible that you're listening to this podcast and maybe you've been listening to it for absolutely ages and you've gone back and you've listened to old episodes. There's lots to listen to. Maybe you're a Sober Club member, or maybe you've read some Quitlet. Maybe you've been thinking about stopping drinking for a long time, or perhaps you're already sober. There's another piece of the holistic jigsaw, or another piece of the whole well-being picture that you know is bubbling for you. You've had something bubbling and it's been there in your thoughts. Your unconscious mind is nudging you. Or maybe it's that linked to your purpose. Maybe you've had this thought that constantly comes up. Maybe it's time for me to do some different work, for me to write the book I've always wanted to write. Maybe it's time for me to, I don't know, start a charity or travel or whatever it might be for you. It could be something really tiny. It could be something really big, going after your wildest dreams. On our vision board workshop last week, it was just amazing to see the range of things that come out when people focus on what it is their unconscious mind wants for them right now. Because we can't do everything at once, right? But our unconscious mind helps us deliver what we need to focus on at this point in time. And for some people, that will be really properly going after it. Okay, there's a mountain and you've been wanting to climb it. Well, okay, it's time to book the trip. For other people, it's as simple as, I've been talking about planting some herbs and I'm actually going to just go and buy the pot. You know, it can be something tiny, or it might be that you need to make a phone call, or whatever it might be. But when we're feeling resistance, it's really interesting how it holds us back. And I recognized that I've been feeling resistance to something for, goodness me, a long time, possibly years in my case. And so I wanted to dig into this and just explore the topic, really. So I've come up with a few points, which I'm going to write a blog post about this, around embracing resistance and just kind of thinking about what it is and how we can face it, really, and shift it along. So I think most of us have resistance, and it's almost like an invisible force that holds us back from something. So whether that's, you know, as I say, something big or small, it might be holding us back from stepping into our greatness, from pursuing our dreams, or it might be holding us back from just quitting the booze or some other behavior that we know it's time to stop. Or it might be about, you know, stopping us from really changing a relationship that needs a little bit of a shake up. The interesting thing that I've discovered when I've been deep diving is that resistance doesn't have to be our enemy, because we tend to think of it as, oh, I've got this resistance, therefore there's something a bit wrong with me. But resistance doesn't have to be our enemy. It can actually just be a fantastic teacher. It's like when we can notice it, when we can recognize it, it's like a signpost that can point us towards the growth that we actually need. So I found this quote from Stephen Pressfield, who said, "Resistance is always lying and always full of shit." I mean, that tells it like it is, right? It's the voice in our head that tells us we're not good enough, or we're not worthy enough or capable enough. It's the voice in the head that tells us that we're not ready to do something yet, or that that thing is good for other people, but it's not good for me. But the reality is, if you've been having similar thoughts, similar nudges, then you already are enough. So when we think about resistance, it's like an inner tug of war. It has been for me, definitely. Now I've identified this thing that I'm not going to share with you. It's a personal thing, but I've identified this thing. Now, and I realize that the resistance piece, it's like a tug of war going on inside me. It's a tug of war between where I'm at and this sense that, oh, that's something I definitely can't do, and where I want to be. So it's, but it keeps coming up. So clearly it's important. It's like a fear of the unknown, because resistance is almost always linked to fear. It's a fear that I might fail, or a fear that something might go wrong, or a fear of success. That's an interesting one. Some people are actually afraid of being successful. So, as you know, I train people to be holistic sober coaches, and as part of our training, we incorporate a whole suite of skills around how we would support our business, how we would grow a business, how we would create a business that's the right one for us, because we don't want to roll into something that isn't what we want for our lives. It's got to be a heart-centered business. And it's interesting when we get to the topic of money. It's interesting how many people who have a heart-centered business, who want to support others, whether they're coaches or therapists or practitioners, it's really interesting how many have got blocks around money. It's a thing for sure. Blocks around money. Maybe when we were young, we were told, oh, money's the root of all evil, or oh, you can't be a nice person if you're abundant. And that's utterly ridiculous, because money is an energy. Money flows, and the more of it we bring in, the more we can release, right? So if you don't need the money, but you have something to offer, then charge for it anyway, because people will value something that they pay for, and then look at what you can do with that money, right? So anyway, I digress. But the point is, resistance can often come in the form of being afraid of success, being actually afraid of being abundant. That is an interesting one. And resistance is often like a sneaky little voice, and it pops up and says, no, don't do that, or don't do it yet. Better to play safe. So just stay in your comfort zone, stay where you're at. Do the thing you've always done, because that's kind of worked for you. Don't stop drinking yet. Don't, because you've got a party coming up, or you've got an event coming up. So stay where you're at now, because it might get tricky. It might be really difficult for you to socialize. Just stay where you're at now. Don't rock the boat. Maybe just reduce, but don't rock the boat. So it's that little voice that tells you to stay where you're at, stay in your comfort zone. But here's the thing: resistance does not have to be a sign that something is wrong. It can be a sign that something is right. Because if that same resistance keeps coming up and we notice it, it can be the sign that we're right on the verge of a breakthrough, that we're actually noticing it now, that we can push the boundaries, we can push the limits, we can actually do the thing that we've felt resistant to. We can step into our power. We really can. So how do we do that? How do we strengthen those muscles that will face the resistance head on? How do we, kind of lean into the discomfort that we feel? We have to, once we stop drinking, we definitely have to feel all the feels, right? You've heard me say that before. And it's not easy. Most of us much prefer just to numb out everything with booze or whatever else we've been using. But now we have to feel, we have to face the fears. But it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth leaning into the discomfort and finding a way to embrace the challenges. So one thing that we have to do first, I'm going to give you a few tips in a moment, and I'll write this down in a blog, so if it's of interest, you can read it. But firstly, we need to cultivate self-awareness. We've got to recognize where the resistance is coming up and what it's about. So where is it rearing its ugly head? Where is it coming up? And we have to acknowledge that. But we have to see it as not something that is just the way we are. Sometimes clients will say to me, oh, that's the kind of person I am. Oh, no, I always do that. Well, that's not strictly true. You don't always do it, do you? That's just a thing we say. We have to challenge that. We have to challenge those limiting beliefs. And remember that the resistance is just a temporary obstacle. It's just a temporary obstacle, but we can absolutely, kick it out the park and grow. And after the self-awareness, we need the self-compassion. And we absolutely need that in spades, in sobriety. We really do. We need to be gentle with ourselves. We need to remember that it's okay to feel a bit scared. It's actually completely natural and normal to feel a bit scared about whatever it is we're going to embark on, to feel a bit uncertain. It's okay to recognize that we have resistance to something, but we can also remember that, you know, we're pretty badass. We can overcome obstacles. Of course we can. So here's another quote for you. Maya Angelou said, "You may encounter many defeats, but you must not be defeated. In fact, it may be necessary to encounter the defeats so that you know who you are, what you can rise from, how you can still come out of it." I love that. How fantastic is that? We have to encounter the challenges and the defeats so we can rise from the ashes, right? And then, of course, we need to, well, I think it's a fantastic thing to add in, to release the resistance in a kind of energetic way. So we can do energetic releasing of resistance. And we can do this through meditation. We can do it through breath work. We can do it through energy healing. We can do it through things like EFT, emotional freedom technique. I love using that with clients. It can be a really quick way of removing resistance, of removing blocks. And we can do it by tuning into our bodies, by dropping into our body. Sometimes you have to actually just let the body take the strain. So we're all very much in our head and we think things through and we make our to-do lists and you know, we make our business plans and our strategic plans. But sometimes you just have to drop into the body and shake it all out, right? Sometimes you just need to get rid of that, of whatever's holding you back, and just step into the power. And sometimes just putting a record on, a track on. God, I show my age when I use phrases like that, don't I? Put a track on and go and dance. Just go and shake it out. So I am hereby inviting you, and myself, of course, I'm pointing some fingers back at myself, to lean into the resistance you've got going on, to embrace the challenges that are coming up for you, and trust in the wisdom, because maybe, just maybe, it isn't there to hold you back. Maybe it's there to help you grow. Maybe it's there to show you and to shine a light on something that it's the right time. It's the right time now. So here's some tips. I've got 10 tips for, noticing the resistance and going for it, going for the way of overcoming it. So tip number one, cultivate self-awareness. Now, to do that, which we're going to need to do anyway, if we're ditching the booze, we're going to be paying attention to our thoughts. So properly noticing our thoughts, pay attention to our emotions. So what is it we really want to feel? What's the feeling that we're after, particularly if you're in the early stages of stopping drinking? When you get that thought, oh, I really want to drink, what's the emotion behind that? What's the feeling that you're really after? So paying attention to thoughts, emotions, pay attention to the physical sensation. Where does the resistance come up? Where does it show up for you? What triggers the resistance? Because that can be an interesting one. Sometimes people are going all great guns for going after the behavior change they want. And then they find themselves in a certain environment and they're back at square one. So, no, it's not the right time. It's absolutely not the right time. Start to notice where this resistance shows up and what is triggering it for you. Step two is to practice mindfulness. So that is about actually setting aside a little bit of time. It doesn't have to be long. I mean, a couple of minutes will do it, but tune into the present moment and notice the resistance that is arising, and notice it without judgment. Just notice it, be aware of it, and bring your focus back to the present moment. So where that can really help you is when you're going off on a roll with your resistance. Perhaps if the wine witch is talking at you, or some other limiting belief, some other inner critic voice is telling you, oh no, you can't do that because you're not good enough, or it's not the right time yet for you, or there'll be other people who get in the way, or what makes you think you can do that? I mean, just look at yourself. When those voices come in, when those thoughts come in, bring your unconscious mind back, come back to the present moment. Remember that you're in the here and now, the whole mindfulness piece of feeling your body on the chair, on the earth, wherever you are. Just feel yourself grounded and bring your focus back to the present moment without any judgment. So don't come back to the present moment going, oh, for God's sake, I've just been off on a tangent again. Just notice that's where you were and bring yourself back to the present moment. And the next tip is journaling, because writing stuff down, journaling can be so amazingly just helpful, supportive, empowering in tracking your thoughts and feelings. And you can write, you can have a journal that you write down those thoughts of resistance. And just maybe as you write them down, that will help me to uncover what might be underlying. What are the underlying reasons behind these, you know, this focus of resistance that you've been writing down? And remember with journaling, you know, you're not doing this for anyone else to read. So this is not about good grammar or editing. You are literally, it's literally stream of consciousness stuff. That's how journaling can work best. So literally you with your pen on your paper, keep your pen flowing, just write the thoughts down as they come and ask yourself, what is it that I'm resistant to? Where is this resistance coming from? What is it? What is it trying to teach me? What's the reason behind it? And just ask yourself those questions. You'll be amazed how the answers can flow. The next tip is to set clear intentions. So clarify what your goals and intentions are, because when you know what you're working towards, it, you know, becomes a lot easier then to recognize and to overcome the issues along the way. So clarify your goal and intention around the thing that you're resistant to. One at a time might be helpful. And the next tip is break it down. So if you know what it is you want, if you know what your intention is, what your goal is, break it down into a manageable step and focus on taking the actions consistently. As one of the messages that I read out earlier said, consistency is like a secret sauce. So rather than trying to tackle absolutely everything at once, just do it consistently, break it down into manageable steps. So if you are right at the very beginning of your journey of ditching the booze, for example, for goodness sake, don't say to yourself, right, that's it. I'm stopping drinking forever. And I'm also going to drop however many pounds in weight and become a marathon runner. You know, it's not all going to happen at once. Focus on the important piece. Focus on quitting the booze and taking care of yourself and all that that means. So you'll absolutely won't be stopping eating at that point. Forget about losing weight. If that's meant to happen for you, that might happen down the line. But right now, you're going to focus only on what you're gaining in those early weeks of stopping drinking. And that's about recovery or discovery, as it's sometimes focused. I like to focus on the discovery of who are you? How can you take care of yourself? Make it manageable. Break it down so that you're doing things consistently. The next tip is to celebrate your progress, because when you celebrate those wins, you know, however small, it helps kind of move you forward. It gives you that little bit of encouragement. So you can do that however you wish. Some people like to, if you're stopping drinking, people like to keep one of those sober apps. Somebody put a new one on the Sober Club the other day that I hadn't seen before. It was really good. I'll put it in the show notes. I've used I Am Sober, but there are many free apps that just track your progress. And some people love counting their days, counting their sober streaks, and other people are not interested in that at all. But celebrate it in a small way, whatever works for you. Lots of people come on the Sober Club and they share, you know what, I'm day 18 and it feels great. And that's wonderful, just to tell someone and just do something nice for yourself, even if it's just make yourself a really lovely cup of tea or an alcohol-free drink and just really, really savour it. And of course, connection and seeking support is my next tip. Seeking support, reaching out to like-minded people is really key for your accountability. So making sure that you've got someone that you can lean on will make whatever you're going through feel less daunting. So if you've got this huge resistance to something, that maybe you've even had it for years, then sharing that, getting support from someone else, being held accountable, really, really makes the difference. And then the next tip is to practice self-compassion. And this really is a big one. You've got to be kind to yourself when you're facing, well, anything hard, haven't you really? Definitely when you're facing resistance. It is completely natural, as I've already said, to feel scared, to feel uncertain. It's completely natural to feel nervous of changing a behavior that has seemingly worked for you for so many years. Hasn't really, you know, the emperor's not really wearing any clothes. But whatever it is you've got going on, It is natural to feel uncertain when you're making a change, but you need to treat yourself with real kindness, real understanding. That's what we do for a friend. You know, we've all got friends who we love them unconditionally. Now, if we were to say, well, is there anything about that friend that is a bit annoying or whatever? Well, of course there is. Nobody's perfect. Of course there is. I'm sure you can all cite, you know, if you have to, things about your very close friends that drive you bonkers, that are absolutely not perfect, that wind you up, but you still love them? Well, of course you do. And if that friend came to you and shared with you something that they were really afraid of or really upset about or really resistant to, you're not going to say to that friend, well, you know, best of luck with that, mate. You're going to support them and say, you can do this. Of course you can. Look how strong you are. Look how worthy of this you are, right? So we need to show ourselves the kindness and the understanding that we would show to someone we love unconditionally. And number nine is visualize our success. Visualization techniques are so unbelievably powerful. When we can imagine ourselves in this new situation, when we can imagine ourselves happy and sober and healthy and focusing on self-care, if we can visualize it, if we can see it, we can move towards it. Whatever your goal is, whatever it is you want in your life, if you can't visualize it, it's going to be very tricky to make it happen. Now, of course, you might not know exactly how it's going to feel, but you can dream it, you can vision it. You know, that lovely, well, they use the expression fake it till you make it, but I flip that and I call it create it till you make it. So live as if, literally visualize your success. Imagine yourself achieving the goal that you want, you know, overcoming that resistance and going after the thing that you know is what you want. It can really help with the confidence that you're going to feel, and it can help block the resistance. So whenever the resistance starts to rear its ugly head, you can just flip that to the visualization of you succeeding at whatever it is that you want to do. And then number 10 is to take inspired action, because of course all of the stuff we've been talking about is great. Dropping into the body, feeling and you know feeling the energy, shaking it all out, focusing on the kindness and the mindfulness and the meditation and the journeying, all of that's great. But ultimately, we have to take action. We have to take inspired action. So this is where we have to trust our intuition, and when we feel that sense of inspiration, even if it feels uncomfortable, we have to take that first step. You know, there's that lovely expression, eat the frog. I've forgotten who came up with it. I did a whole piece on it. There's a whole blog post that I wrote once because someone taught me this in a business kind of class. That when you've got a load of a whole bunch of hard things to do, you've perhaps got a big to-do list, and there's one thing that you've been putting off, one thing that you feel resistant to, or you've been procrastinating on, and they just say, do that first, eat the frog, you know, do the big thing. It will never be as bad as you think it's going to be. You know what? You'll have eaten the frog really quickly and get onto the other stuff quickly too. Right? So just eat the frog. Just do the hard thing. Take the first step. And often with ditching the booze, that's all that's needed. Take the first step and then continue to put all the resources in place to create your sober self-care toolkit, to get connected, to eat really well, and then you'll be taking the next step and the one after that. And that's how we build it, right? But we do need to take the first step. We need to take the inspired action. So there you go, 10 tips for embracing resistance and moving forward. And I'll put that in a blog post. I'll add the link to the show notes. And I really hope that might be helpful to some of you who, like me, have acknowledged that you've got stuff that keeps popping up. You know, I used to get the voice in the head at 3 a.m., you know, saying, what are you doing? It's time to stop drinking. And now I no longer wake at 3 a.m., thankfully. I sleep brilliantly now. But throughout the day, I get the little voice that says, there's that thing, and why are you being so resistant to it? And when that happens to you, several times, then, as I say, try and see it not as an enemy, but as a friend who's going to help you now. Step through it, step into the growth, as it were. So, what do I want to remind you of? Our Champneys retreat is coming up in May. If you can get to Hertfordshire and treat yourself to a luxury retreat, it's a short space of time, but we pack a lot in. 18th and 19th of May at Champneys in Tring, Self Care in Sobriety. It'd be fantastic to have some of you there. We will be putting another workshop in place as well, and another Constellations at some point. Plus, there's plenty of online stuff. If you join us in the Sober Club, you're very welcome to do that. Thesoberclub.com. It is absolutely chock full of inspiration and accountability and a whole ton of stuff around holistic health and well-being. And don't forget that I do offer one-to-one coaching as well, using a whole bunch of modalities, EFT, matrix reimprinting, NLP, a whole bunch of stuff. So if that's of interest, feel free to message me. And if you want to support this work, then you can go to buymeacoffee.com/genuinelygrace. But as always, I'd much rather meet you. So at some point, we'll do another live podcast recording as well. I'm very aware that not everyone can get to the southeast of England. So again, I'd love to do more stuff further up country. In October, just a heads up, late October, I have a new book coming out. I'll tell you all about that at some point. So I'm going to be doing some book tours, and I'm going to incorporate some podcast and Sober Club meetups, because I'm going to a whole bunch of cities and towns around the UK. So I figured that would be a great way of meeting some, podcast listeners and Sober Club members, and doing things in some different places rather than just in Hertfordshire, which I'm sure makes you fed up if that's not where you are. Because, connection is key, really is. So if you are struggling, don't forget, please reach out. I wrote a blog post for Alcohol Change UK a couple of weeks ago about why going sober is not just a celebrity trend and not just a wellness trend either. If you click the link to that blog, or if you just go to Alcohol Change UK, you'll see there is a lot of support there, a lot of signposting to where you need to go if you are struggling. The really important thing is, don't hole up and keep this to yourself. It's so much better when you can share what's going on with somebody else. So if you don't want to join the Sober Club, or you don't want to connect with an in-person group or an online group, then that's fine. But tell someone you're doing this, because that adds another layer of accountability. And you're very welcome to tell me. Message me. You can always, but please follow me on social media at Genuinely Grace, and you can always message me. I will do my best to reply to as many messages as I possibly can. I'm pretty good at replying to messages usually. So message me, tell me you're doing this. I'll hold the vision for you. And once you've told me, right, then you're not going to want to slip up the very next day, are you? Because that's another layer of accountability there for you. So always reach out. Don't struggle in silence. So I will see you same time next week. Have yourself a fantastic week.
Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.